So imagine you're looking at a credit file, right? And you see a buy now, pay later approval. You probably assume you know exactly what that means.
Right, you think, oh, it's just a small, manageable risk.
Exactly. But what if I told you that that exact same line item is actually acting as a safe learner's permit for one person, but a massive red flag for financial distress for someone else?
It really completely changes how you have to assess risk. I mean, the underlying mechanics have just shifted so much over the last couple of
Yes, they
years.
really have. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are unpacking two recent reports from the Broker Times that prove our standard summary data is, well, it's often dangerously misleading.
Yeah, taking any single metric at face value right now is just a recipe for miscalculating everything.
Totally. So, we're pulling apart the July 2026 Experian credit data, and then we're going to dive into the latest housing numbers from the Australian Bureau of Statistics.
Which I know sounds a bit dry, but I promise the implications are huge.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, let's unpack this BNPL paradox first. The Experian July Business Pulse data show that 35% of buy now, pay later inquiries come from consumers with absolutely zero recent credit activity.
Right, those thin file clients.
Yeah, exactly. So for these thin file clients, it's almost like a financial learner's permit. They're actually less likely to escalate their credit than personal loan applicants.
What's fascinating here is how the exact same product behaves completely differently for another demographic. Like, if you look at consumers who are already credit active, the whole story flips.
Wait, how much does it flip?
A lot. For that group, 20% of BNPL inquiries sit right behind a prior delinquency or some adverse event.
Oh, wow, 20%.
Yeah. And just to put that in perspective, for traditional credit cards or personal loans, that distress signal only appears about 13 or 14% of the time. So treating both groups as one identical signal is a huge mistake.
Right, but I guess I'm wondering if a $600 BNPL limit and a $6,000 credit card both say approved on the file, aren't they equally valid proof of someone's repayment capacity?
Well, no, and that assumption is exactly where the danger lies. You have to remember the low-cost credit contract reforms from back in June 2025.
Oh, right, the modified rules.
Exactly. For BNPL contracts under $2,000, providers rely on modified responsible lending obligations. They're basically just doing a negative credit check.
So they aren't like digging through your bank statements to verify all your living expenses.
Not at all. They just check to ensure you don't have active defaults or bankruptcies. An approval doesn't guarantee a rigorous capacity assessment.
So an approval basically just means you haven't actively crashed a car recently, not that you actually know how to drive or can afford the gas.
That is a great way to put it, yeah. Because the upfront assessment is lighter, the aggregate commitment is what truly matters. Like when a consumer quietly stacks four or five of these sub-$2,000 limits together.
And that total debt is just completely hidden from the initial approval metric.
Exactly. And honestly, this illusion of surface-level data isn't just happening with consumer credit.
No, it's happening at the macro level too, which is crazy. Like, if we transition to the ABS July 2026 release, the big headline screams that private house approvals fell 4.2% overall.
Yeah, and in some states, it was way worse.
Right, like South Australia dropping almost 11%.
Yeah.
But if you look at private dwellings, excluding houses, so, you know, apartments and townhouses, those surged by 19.9% year on year.
Which is a massive pivot away from detached homes. It really comes down to land costs and material constraints, plus this aggressive push for urban density.
Right, developers are pivoting just to make the math work. But here's where it gets really interesting. Construction makes up roughly a quarter of recent insolvencies, right?
It's a huge chunk.
We saw 3,472 business failures in 2025-26 alone. So isn't this massive shift toward complex, long-dated apartment built exactly where the risk is highest for consumers?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, absolutely. It shifts the entire 2027 pipeline toward higher density files that carry way longer settlement windows.
Because a detached house might only take, what, 6 to 9 months to build?
Right, whereas an apartment block often takes 18 to 24 months. And that extended timeline introduces so much completion valuation risk.
And because over 2 years, anything could happen.
Exactly. Lender policies can shift abruptly, or most critically, the final valuation of the completed apartment might come in significantly lower than the original off-the-plan contract price.
Meaning the buyer suddenly has to cover a massive cash shortfall out of pocket just to settle.
Long after they thought they were totally safe, yeah.
Wow. So I guess the big takeaway for you, the listener, is that whether you're analyzing a single credit file or a giant macro housing trend, The real story is just never on the summary screen.
It's really not. You always have to look at the context and ask the right follow-up questions, because risk has just moved into the aggregate and the timeline.
It really makes you wonder, you know, if traditional data points like a credit approval or a housing start no longer mean what they meant just 2 years ago, what other standard metrics in our financial lives are quietly becoming obsolete right under our noses?
It's a scary thought, but definitely something we all need to be paying attention to.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.